This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Welcome. I'm glad to have each of you here today, and it's time to start on this session of using your home as a mission. I trust that the Lord will bless this session and the work in His kingdom will continue. And the scripture reference that I have up here, I went too far. Okay, I got ahead of myself. Matthew 5:15. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. This is an interesting passage. You know, we hear about a city set on a hill, you know, something that is bright in the community. And that's what we want in our homes. But one thing that's interesting about this, that says that we light a lamp, and we don't put it under a basket, but it gives light to all that are in the house. I don't think about being in the house, in our homes, using our homes as a tool for reaching out to the community. This is the subtitle that was in the handout. Many Christians see mission work as something that is done abroad or that we go somewhere else to do. However, most of us have a great opportunity to use our homes as a mission right where we live. This session, we'll spend some time looking at how this could look in our communities. I think each of us can acknowledge there's great opportunity, and yet it's challenging to reach out to those around us. And even in the day that we live, you know, many needs are met by many programs and many, many things, but yet what an opportunity we have in our communities to be a place where people can come for rest and also to be pointed to Jesus. This, we're talking about homes here, and typically a home is a married couple, but if you're single or you're in your youth, I would encourage you to have a vision for a home someday that is open and ready to be used as a mission. I want to think about this session just a little bit, and the goal of this breakout is to stimulate ideas among you and hear what you have to say at the end. I don't have all the answers on this. I acknowledge that, but I want to just stir some ideas and some thoughts in your minds. And I don't plan to use all the 45 minutes. I would like to hear some discussion. It's a little more difficult to do in a room this size, so I don't know how that'll work out. A lot of times it takes a group discussion to bring these ideas to life and to get people excited about it. And so I want you to, if you have thoughts, be willing to share at the end. And please write your thoughts down and your ideas, and be ready to share them if we have time. We'll see how all that works out. What is a missionary to you? I would like to just open it up and just ask this question to each one of you. But what comes to your mind when you think of a missionary? And, you know, I think many of us understand that a missionary is supposed to be someone that's just engaged in the work of spreading the gospel, those that are active in the kingdom. But so often, what comes to my mind when I think of a missionary is someone that packs their bags up and moves off to a foreign land, and they're sharing the gospel over there. That's normally the first thing that comes to my mind. And I even asked some folks I was visiting with a couple weeks ago, what comes to your mind when you think of a missionary? And that was mostly the response I got was people that go off to another part of the world and spread the gospel. But how many of us believe that a missionary is actually someone that is spreading the gospel right where you're at? And I think most of us believe that, and yet we struggle to put it to practice. Many times, another thought is that many times we read about someone or we hear about someone that they spent their life in the mission field. And I don't know where you're spending your life, but I trust it's in the mission field. That's where we're at, and I trust that each of us, when our obituary is read, that it will say they spent their life in the mission field right here in the United States, if that's where you stay. Using your home as a mission. I have some points on using our home as a mission I'd like to consider today. It's not complete. It's just some ideas to give you some encouragement to do this. First point is just biblical hospitality. What's the Bible say about hospitality? Second, what an open home could look like. Third, the challenges that come with an open home. Fourth, the blessings of an open home. And five, developing communities with open homes, thinking of our church communities and how that could look. Biblical hospitality. Is it scriptural to use our homes as a mission? What does the Bible say about using our home as a mission? What's the Bible say about hospitality? I think it's good questions to ask ourselves. But I feel like the Bible teaches that hospitality is biblical hospitality, radical hospitality is not an option, but it's a requirement of the Christian. We have the opportunity to be a witness and a testimony right in our homes. Biblical hospitality, a verse that comes to mind is Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. We see here that as Paul is addressing the Romans, he says that that it's the true mark of a Christian. It's one of the marks of a Christian. He goes through a lot of different things, but that is one of the marks, is given to hospitality. And it's a life that is, I would say, is consumed with hospitality, one that loves to have people come in and invite the community in. I want to look at a few verses from Luke 14. And I just want to say that this challenges me, me seriously. I really struggle with this sometimes. But Jesus said this: when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. These are red letter words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that is what I think he desires for each of us. If we look at the previous verses, this lawyer had come to Jesus challenging him. What must I do? I think he said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes on and talks about honoring some men above others. And then he ends with these few verses here saying that when you prepare a meal, invite those that can't repay you. And I don't know what that does to you or how that stretches you, but it's hard for me. And I don't know what your view of hospitality is, but I believe it's a heart that wants to open up to all people. And most of us that have grown up in Anabaptist circles, we know what it's like to be hospitable. I think that we're very familiar with inviting guests into our home, and we enjoy doing it. But I do wonder sometimes if we don't take this scripture seriously. And I actually rewrote this verse in my own version to apply to maybe how some of us grew up or how we look at hospitality today. And this is unbiblical hospitality. When you give a dinner or banquet, invite not the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, because they cannot repay you and will take a lot of your time. But when you give a feast, invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors so that they also invite you in return and you will be repaid, for you will be repaid the very next week. And that might sound kind of funny, but how often do we do that in our circles? We enjoy being with friends and family and relatives, and we invite them expecting to be invited in return. Because it's kind of a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of a situation. And we just go around in that circle, round and round. You invite me for a nice meal, and I'll invite you. And I just want to say this before we move on, that I think we need to be interacting with our fellow believers and those within our circles. But it can't be everything we do. There are times we need some refreshment, and we need to be encouraged for just a little season so we can get back in the battle again. But there's just a few things that we struggle with when it comes to the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. In our productive Anabaptist minds, we tend to think that it takes way too much time to walk along beside some of these folks. And it just, you know, it can just consume a lot of time. And that's not only with just people from outside of our circles. Sometimes we get caught up in this thing of only wanting to invite those that don't take much of our time. It can happen within our own circles where we struggle to invite someone because possibly they can't repay like we would want to be repaid. And so how do you feel about biblical hospitality? Are you engaging in it now? Are you slow to get involved because it may cut into your, maybe the pampered life you're living or the lifestyle that you're living? And this is a struggle this is a question I have to ask myself every day, and I really struggle with it because it can be really hard. But I want to look at what Jesus says here at the end. This is the payment for biblical hospitality highlighted there. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. It's treasures in heaven. This payment will come later on. And we may not feel it right now, but it'll come in a later date. And it's the treasure, I think, that Jesus talked about in Matthew 6 when he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I just call us to consider the future as we think about biblical hospitality and using our home as a mission. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. I want to think for a few minutes what an open home could look like. Many of us can say that we have an open home and people are welcome. But let's just take a few minutes and think about what it may look like to have an open home or using our home as a mission. Oh, whoops, I missed a slide there. What does an open home look like to you? This is a quote from Rosaria Butterfield, and she wrote the book "The Gospel Comes with a House Key," and I think it's back in the bookstore. And I would encourage each of you to read it if you can. Those who live out radically ordinary hospitality see their homes not as theirs at all, but as God's gift to use for the furtherance of His kingdom. They open doors. They seek out the underprivileged. They know that the gospel comes with a house key. They take biblical theology seriously, as well as Christian creeds, confessions, and traditions. It's a quote from Rosaria Butterfield. And I want you to consider that as we think about using our home as a mission. Is this how I'm living now? Do I see everything God has given me as an opportunity to advance his kingdom? Or am I kind of enjoying the blessings that God has given me and not sharing them with others? You know, many of us have had conversations with foreign missionaries. And we know what a foreign missionary home usually looks like. It's a home that is, the door is swinging open all the time. And people are coming and going. It's a revolving door. And we've heard endless stories about people that go to another country, and that's what happens. But why can't it be this way here? Why are we so fearful of opening our doors and unlocking our doors? Because it's not our stuff anyhow. I have some points on using your home as a mission I'd like to consider. This may look different for each home, but I believe that each of us can just start by taking one step. And it's not easy to change our lifestyle. It's not easy to make these changes, but I trust that we can do it, and we can do it to the glory of our Father. Open doors and extra plates. I don't know what you think about that statement, but I want to think about open doors and extra plates for a few minutes. I believe the Christian home should be known in our local communities for open doors and for extra plates. I don't think it should be a strange thing for some of our family members, maybe our children, to come home from work and there's someone at the table they've never met before. I hope that's not a strange thing. What do we have that we shouldn't share with others? God has given it to us. Why can't we give it in return? And I don't know why we are so fearful. I just had a conversation with an Anabaptist couple a couple weeks ago. I visited their community, and they're a small group there, and they have, I think there's about three or four families, and they meet in a home. And this young couple has started interacting in the community some, and they met a man that would like to come to church with them. But some of the families there, because church is in their homes, are a little fearful of bringing someone in. I'll let you think about that a little bit, but I don't think this is what Jesus taught us. If we're serious about advancing his kingdom, I think we should be willing to give just a little bit. And I just want to encourage us today to open the door, put the extra plate on, and invite the people. And it may look different for you than it does for us. And it comes with many challenges, and it can take a lot of time. And we have, there may be many questions, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But why do we fear when our Lord is in charge and he will supply our every need? This is a sign that's hanging on our wall. It says this: come in the evening or come in the morning. Come unexpected or come without warning. 1,000 welcomes you'll find here before you, and the more often you come, the more we'll adore you. And this sounds challenging. And I'll say it is, it can be challenging. But I believe this is the heart of Jesus as we consider hospitality and we consider using our home as a mission. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can't take the place of Jesus, but we can be engaged in his work. And I trust that's our heart today, that we're willing for those to come, and the more they come, the more we'll adore them. And that's what Jesus has promised. The more we come to him, the more he'll adore us. I want to think about friendships with people with different viewpoints. And this can be challenging. Some of us don't like to have discussions with people with different viewpoints. It can stretch us completely out of our box. But I'll just say that, when we open our homes and we invite people in, this is going to come. We're going to have different worldviews, different ideas. And yet these people need to be heard, and they need to feel accepted for just being a human being, for just being created in the image of God. We need to be willing to listen to them. Remember, they were created in the image of God, even though they may have rejected him. It's also an opportunity for our young people to engage, our youth to engage in discussion that may stretch them out just a little bit and allow them to sort through some of the issues of life by good discussion. And it will also give our youth some purpose and allows them to support the idea of truth by speaking it to others. It can give our own youth some confidence when they go out into the workplace, when we are engaged in discussion in our home. However, we do need to keep in mind that Jesus still demands truth. It can't be a free-for-all. We need to be willing to still speak truth. We can't compromise a bit just to be friends with people in our community. This quote on the very next page or slide says this: Jesus dined with sinners, but he didn't sin with sinners. Jesus lived in the world, but he didn't live like the world. This is the Jesus paradox. I'll just call us to each of us to that as we engage with people, that we listen to them, we hear them out, but speak back to them like Jesus did, with a heart of compassion and love. A safe and a comfortable place. An open home or a home that is used as a mission should feel safe. People need to feel appreciated for who they are and need to be able to share openly. And I think this is one of the challenges we have faced as a family and possibly even as a congregation, that we love to have people come into our home. And we get kind of, and so we have great conversations with them, and we get kind of excited about the journey they're on, and we start talking a little too much. And I think it's all out of good intention, but we start talking about the journey they're on, and then someone else asks them about it, and it breaks down trust. And so I just encourage us to make a safe place where they can talk and not feel like they're going to be criticized or that they are going to be, that someone else will not ask them about it later. It soon can become gossip if we start talking about the struggles of a seeker or the beliefs of a seeker. Remember, our homes should feel comfortable. Places where people that fear, places where a person would not fear that they could never live up to this standard. I think it's one of the challenges we may have, that we live pretty good, I'd say most of us. And let's be careful as we make choices and we make decisions about our homes, about what we do and what we live in and what we purchase and our lifestyle, that would discourage a seeker or someone coming in to our homes. And I talked about this just a little bit already, but it provides great teaching opportunity. They can come into one of our homes that is fairly organized, and ours isn't always completely organized. I'll say that, but there's something about coming into a godly home that's orderly, and that is just a tremendous example to a seeker or to those that just live a chaotic life. And many times we don't have to do anything special. They can just come in and enjoy life with us. We don't have to have programs or great theological discussions or Bible studies. Just bring them in and allow them to feel a connection with us. People will soak up stability. People always enjoy, or I shouldn't say always. It may be stretching for them sometimes, but when we provide a safe place that's stable to them, that's when teaching can start happening. It's when questions start to come. And I will cover some more on this topic of teaching opportunity and blessings of an open home. But let's remember that the masses are looking for something solid, something stable, something meaningful. And what better opportunity than to allow them into our homes? The challenges of an open home. While I believe that an open home or using your home for a mission is scriptural, it comes with many challenges. I'll go through a few of those, and it won't be all-inclusive. One is it disrupts family life. We know that this is a serious problem. It's a very common problem. We need to fight against it. I want to call each of us to, many of us live busy lives, but maybe we need to re-examine what we're busy at. Is our busyness producing something that is meaningful and good? Or can we step back from some of the busyness and open our homes to the community? And so as we think about disrupting family life, sometimes we have to make a choice of, I know many times our family life can be disrupted by all the different functions we go to and the things that we go and do. Now, many of them are good, but is having an open home going to disrupt family life completely? I trust that it won't. The next thing is open homes expose our families to worldly influence. And it's a legitimate concern. I think that each of us need to be concerned about that. When we start bringing different types of people into our homes, it's possible that our children will see and hear things that are not godly and not normal in our homes. And so this puts a responsibility square on the shoulders of each of us leaders of our homes. And we need to be on guard. There's a good chance that our children will hear language they've never heard. There's a chance they'll hear stories that they struggle with and don't quite, can't quite come to grips with. But let's remember that quote back there, to love the sinner and not the sin. Let's be examples to our children in this. I think we can show them something. And sometimes we make a lot bigger deal about the worldly influence than what it really is. I think I've done that. I can give examples of men coming into our home that I knew were going to use bad language. And we got in there, they were as good as a saint. Because I think of when they have a godly influence, the influence of a godly home, and a wife that's under authority and a covered head, they don't make some of the roughest men behave in their best behavior. I don't understand how it works, but I know that God can do that. The other is it just puts stress on your wife and children. And I'm guessing every wife and mother in here says, how can I ever do this? Well, I already have way too much going on. To add one more thing. It's also want to call to the fathers, the dads, the husbands that we need to be aware of. If you want to open your home up, then you better get out there and get to work. And maybe it's washing dishes and doing laundry, but if you're excited about using your home as a mission, then get to work. It's not just some neat little idea. It's going to be a lot of work. And so let's think about that. Another thing is our lifestyle makes our visitors uncomfortable. Just the way we function can make people a little uncomfortable sometimes. But let's remember to try to be relaxed and make an atmosphere where they don't feel ashamed for making a mistake. Even if the dish gets passed the wrong way or doesn't get passed or whatever it is, that our lifestyles can make them uncomfortable, but we have an opportunity to not let that affect our relationship with them. And our way of living can be pretty nice and plush compared to the poor, and the crippled, and the lame, and the blind. Our place could be a place where lower class people could feel comfortable coming to. Let's consider this as we consider opening our doors and allowing people to come in. The blessings, I want to go through that quickly. There are tremendous blessings of an open home. This list isn't all inclusive either, but I believe there are probably many more blessings that can be listed than what I have here. Teaches our children to serve others. I believe that we do that in many ways, and a lot of times we'll go out and do things and go to homeless shelters or soup kitchens, or the list goes on and on of things that we do to serve in the community. But there's something about that puts a barrier between us and them when we are the server and they are the receiver. But there's something about bringing people into our homes where they feel close to or feel connected to us, and they don't feel a distance or a distance between or a barrier. Yeah, when we have folks in our home, I believe we can become more connected. But it's a life of intentional service in the kingdom, to allowing people to come in inside our lives, and not something that you go out there and do. But what a blessing to be able to teach our children to serve. Another thing is, we're in control of what happens in our homes. We have the opportunity to set the stage. It's not just a free-for-all. We can set the standard. We can set the rules. Maybe it's not allowing cell phones at a meal. Maybe we need to speak up if bad language is used. The many different things we can do. But there is a blessing of being in control in our homes. It allows our family to engage in meaningful discussion, and I covered that some already, but I've seen young people, our 13-year-old boy, defending creation to an atheist. And what an opportunity for our children to learn how to go out into the communities and defend the faith. It's a blessing to be able to use our homes for interaction. And then it just gives our neighbors an opportunity to experience a godly home. Just the order and the organization can be a tremendous blessing to them. Without electronic entertainment and without all the chaos going on, they can engage in a meaningful discussion. But let's not make it too formal that they don't feel comfortable. I've covered that already. A place where that it doesn't matter if they fail. We had a young boy that come into our home, and we were serving a meal, and my wife forgot to put a spoon in the bowl of meat, and he just grabbed a tortilla and grabbed meat out of there. And he's been embarrassed about that for a long time because he feels like he made a major cultural mistake, and it really doesn't matter. But there is we do have an opportunity to for them to experience a home of order and godliness. Developing communities with open homes. I want to think about that just a little bit. An open home has to be an individual choice, but having a community of believers that's supportive is powerful. That's a great advantage if you're part of a local church, to have a community that supports you in open homes or using your home as a mission. I don't know what this looks like in your community. I trust you're in a congregation that will rally around you and bless you as you use your home as a mission. Several points about developing communities with open homes. Mission work isn't something that happens abroad. Our church communities need to understand that this is the purpose of the local church. It's not just to prepare missionaries for other places. Yes, that's one role of the church. But somehow our local congregations, our local churches need to get a vision for local, radical hospitality and outreach. And this comes by example. It may be hard for your church congregation to rally around that, but if we live it out in a way that's honoring God, I think our churches will get excited about it. Our communities. Some homes are not capable of doing what other homes are doing, and I think we just need to acknowledge that. Not everybody has to have 30 visitors a week. It's just some homes are just not capable of that. But let's be honest about it. each home has to be able to do what it can handle. But I don't believe that we can just say that that's not my personality to be hospitable. This is something that Jesus asked us to do. We heard Paul talked about it, to be engaged in hospitality. But each home will have a different flavor and a different amount that it can handle. Church communities provide help and support. And what a blessing. This is a tremendous blessing. When we've had times that we have felt completely overwhelmed with, we had three young girls living in our home that were, they had needs, and we had money come in for food, and food came, and help come to just to help clean or whatever it was. It's a tremendous blessing when our community around us engages in helping and supporting us. The other thing about church community is that it shows the seeker that it's bigger than just our home. Many times when someone starts coming to our home, they like to be there because they become connected. But what we like to do is get them pushed out into other homes, because they can see that they can see something beautiful about the church. And they can see unity in the body of Christ. Even though we're not all the same, they can see a unity of the Spirit. And the seeker can see the example of the love of Christ in a different way or a different avenue, and yet feel the same desire to follow Jesus as what our home does. And the church community is filling the gaps that our home is missing. And I think we all need to acknowledge that. We don't get it all right. We just have things that we're missing. Some families are better at doing some things than others. And I think we need to acknowledge that. And that's the blessing of the community, the church community, that they can fill in the gaps where our home is missing out. And let's have confidence in our brothers and sisters that they can fill in that in the gap that we are missing. And let's be excited when our brothers, we heard about that earlier in the other talk. Let's be excited when we see good things happening in other homes. I want to end with this quote here. Radical, ordinary, and daily hospitality is the basic building block for vital Christian living. Start anywhere, but do start. It's another quote from Rosaria Butterfield. That is my heart today. That's my cry. It's for myself also. If you're engaged in radical hospitality, then keep going. If you're struggling to get going, then just take one step. Start anywhere, but get started. That's all I have. There's just a couple minutes here maybe for discussion, questions, or ideas. I like to hear from you all if you have thoughts or ideas on using your home as a mission.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.